All right. Well, we are in week three of our Live Generous series. Last week, we unpacked a bit about what it means to give from the heart and why it's so important that we have that understanding that giving and generosity flows out of the heart. Because we can't give out of compulsion. We can't give because we feel like somebody is expecting us to. We have to give because we know that that's what God has asked us to do, and we have to give cheerfully. In the verse we talked about last week, there it says, God loves a cheerful giver. And one of the other translations of that word cheerful is a hilarious giver. And so we unpacked that a bit, and I'd really encourage you to check on our website, check on our podcast or our app. Our past sermons are on there. If you didn't catch that, it'll hopefully catch you right up into our series. So, giving is a really amazing topic because it's so life-changing. Jesus talked about it second only to the kingdom of God. He talked about it so much in Scripture. And so that gives us a good indication that it's something pretty important for us to get a good grasp on. It also means that the fact that he talked about it so much means it's something that's pretty hard to get a grasp on. Amen? And so it's a journey that we all kind of go on. And so this series, we're hoping that really this series will push you further on that journey, right? We don't know what to expect from each of you. That's between you and God, right? But we're going to do our best to unpack what Scripture says and let the Holy Spirit speak to you personally about what you're supposed to do with this message, okay? We good on that? Can we agree on that? All right, great. So last week, my daughter, Cadence, my oldest, she's six, she lost her first tooth. And she's in kindergarten, and she was so excited when her tooth started wiggling because some of her friends in class had already started losing teeth, and she was devastated that she didn't have any loose teeth, and she was left out. And I'm like, you have no clue what you're asking, but okay, you know, like, and it's like, it's okay, honey, you're gonna lose teeth someday. It's like such a weird thing to console your kid about, right? But she was so excited when that tooth started wiggling, and then every night she'd like try to wiggle it more. I'm like, is it ready? Is it ready, Dad? You know, she'd get so excited. And then this last couple weeks, it was really loose. And I even like would try the floss thing. You tie this piece of floss around it and try and tug on it and see what happened, right? And then a little bit of pain happened. She's like, never mind, don't want to lose a tooth. It's fine, I'm good. Like, we'll try later, right? And so this last week, I put that knot on there, and I was tired of trying, so I just went, right, and popped it out of there, and immediately she freaked out, of course, because like I was like, as soon as it popped out, I was like, oh yeah, I should have told her about the blood. like that's a important component to a six-year-old, that like when she looks down and there's blood coming out of her mouth, you know, she freaked out a little bit and didn't really want to lose that tooth again. But anyway, so it happened, and got her cleaned up, got her calmed down, took some pictures, sent it to the grandparents, and everybody was excited. And then the night came where you got to sneak in and put some money under the pillow, right? And so my wife and I are like, well, I don't know how much to give for a tooth. Like, this is weird. Like,
there's children.
Quarter, is it $10? Like, what's the running, you know, what's the inflation since I was a kid? You know, like, and where is it at now? Like, is there some sort of account? Does this go towards college fund? I don't know how those work, so. So we decided on $2. I don't know what you gave. We just decided on $2. Maybe that's cheap. Maybe that's a lot. Oh, there's kids in here?
Yeah. That's all right.
So the Tooth Fairy and I were really close. And we talked about how much the Tooth Fairy should give, because that's how that works. It's a little known fact that the parents and the Tooth Fairy work real close together. That worked, right? I think we're okay
now. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.
Sorry about that. Santa's a close friend too, by the way. Just so we're on the same page. So anyway,
oh goodness. I'm sweating. I'm like, woo!
So anyway, okay. My daughter woke up with some money under her pillow. Magic, poof. So cool, right? And so so the money, she came out and she was so excited. $2, right? She was so pumped. And then we go downstairs that morning, and it was Sunday morning. Saturday evening is when she lost the tooth. She was so excited about the money that she got, and we were at the breakfast table, and my mother-in-law was in town. And I was talking about kind of the message a little bit, and she was asking about the church plant. Gladden Farms. And if you heard the message last week, we talked a little bit about how sowing and reaping works and how Village Church, we sowed a little bit into trying to get a church plant started, and God really used that and multiplied it to where we have the equipment we need now, we have the people we need, we even have the location now for this church plant in Gladden Farms, which was all God, right? And so Cadence is sitting there hearing this, and she said, I want to give money to that. And I was like, that's so cool. Like, what a great thing. And little did I know that that morning she came in before service with my wife, walked in, and she put $2.50. So it wasn't even just the money that she got for her tooth. She went above and beyond. And I tell you, my heart grew like, it was like the Grinch heart, you know, like just grew three times, you know. I was just so proud of her, you know, because that was everything she got and more, right? She went above and beyond in her giving. And I'm so excited because I got to talk about, you know, we preached about sowing and reaping. And I know that my daughter, even that's a small gift, she's going to reap the benefits of that generosity in her life. Right? I don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe it's she's going to have good days at school, right? Maybe she's going to have friends, more friends come up. I don't know what that looks like in a six-year-old's life, but I'm so grateful that she gets to experience that. And it reminded me of the widow's mite story. Anybody familiar with that one in scripture, right? Where the widow goes forward and she gives just this mite, this little tiny insignificant amount. And there's this really rich guy there and he's given all this money, right? But Jesus says, man, that woman gave so much more. So much more than that rich man. And what Jesus is trying to teach us through our finances, through our generosity, through our giving, is that it takes a whole heart to give. Yeah. All of us has to, it's an all-encompassing spirit that goes into generosity. If we only reserve a little bit of ourselves for God, that's not going to go very far. And he's not going to be able to work in us the way that he needs to. And so it's so important that we understand it takes the whole of us to be generous.
Yeah. We're going to start off today by reading out of Malachi. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. You can click open your Bibles, but very silent. We also have a free Bible on our app. So if you don't have one and you're thinking, I don't have a Bible, there's a free one on our app, Village Church AZ, in the App Store or I think Google Play as well. So I'm going to read this to us, Malachi 3, verse 10 through 12. It's in the Old Testament, and it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So this is God talking to his people. This is before Jesus. God is talking to his people, and he's saying, I want you to test me in this, right? And so we're looking at this today, and we're talking about what it means to live generous as people. It's been an amazing series. It's been amazing to see your response to that as well. And in this passage specifically, we see that generous living requires intentionally setting aside your resources for God's kingdom. Okay, so it says, we say that again, generous living requires intentionally setting aside your resources for God's kingdom. So if you look back in this verse, he's saying, this is how this is going to work. This is how generosity is going to work. You bring your tithe, your tenth, that's what that means, into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. So you're going to intentionally set aside a portion of your resources for my kingdom work, for my house, okay? And I want to say this because the word intentionally is so important here. I think we talked about this last week, that a lot of us want to be known as generous people. Who in here wants to be known as stingy? Oh, look, I saw a hand. Woo, woo! Yeah. Who wants, flip that on you. Who wants to be known as someone stingy? Like, I don't give to anybody. I'm cheap. You know, like, no one wants to be known that way. But so a lot of us, you know, we have the heart to be generous. We do. I want, if someone, you know, asked me, I want to be as generous as possible. But I'll tell you this, unless there's intentionality behind it, it will not happen. Okay? Unless there's an intentionality behind it, it will not happen. I should say it might happen here or there. So an opportunity might glaringly present itself and you might respond. But as far as taking root in your life of this generous living, it will not happen unless you intentionally set aside your resources for God's kingdom. That is a hard word to hear, right? Because now all of a sudden we're talking about what practically has to happen in my life to set things aside for specifically for God to use, for his house. And so when I read that and I hear that truth, the question I have, the question we're going to answer today is, what does intentional giving look like in our lives? What does that actually look like? What does that mean to be intentionally setting aside our resources for God's kingdom?
Yeah, well, the first thing is that it looks like taking the first step. You take the first step. And we see this here in verse 10 where it says, "Test me in this." Now, that is a really unique statement in Scripture. It's the only place in Scripture that God says anything like this. Test me in this. And I get this picture that God is just kind of screaming, "Trust me in this. Trust me with this issue," because nothing hinders our faith like our finances. That's why Jesus spoke about it so much. God is making an extraordinary pact with his people that if they'll bring him what he asks, we can expect incredible results. But we, again, we have to take the first step. So what's being asked of his people here is for a tithe. And a tithe literally translates over to a tenth, okay? And so a tenth of their income, right, which meant finances, but it meant crops. It meant everything else that they brought into their lives. Anything they made, they would give away 10%. And so it talks about the storehouse at the top. And so you can kind of think of that as like, we take a tenth of our grain and we put it in the middle of the community in a big storehouse so that people who don't have enough to eat, they can go and get food to eat, okay? It's a way of taking care of the community that they live in, taking care of the people who might not have enough, or maybe one farmer, their crop just didn't make it that year, right? And so their family still has to eat. And so that's what this is really talking about. It's the finances too behind this as well. Finances, crops, it's everything that you brought in. It's a tenth of everything. And now we know from last week that the arrival of Jesus, that obedience to the strict percentage of a tenth was transformed into a commitment from the heart. So it no longer meant, you know, with the arrival of Jesus, this tenth that we carry out traditionally, that tithe word that we use, is not what Jesus is asking of. Oftentimes it was much, much, much more. Because the Old Testament, the Old Covenant before Jesus, was all law and obedience based. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to speak to them. They didn't have anybody to tell them, like that conscience in them telling them, you know, here's what I want you to do and here's when I want you to do it. So it took very strict laws for them to stay in line with where God wanted them to be as his people. Are we tracking with that? And so with the arrival of Jesus, that law changed, and it all became a heart matter, where you give your entire life instead of just giving some of your obedience to God. And so that included giving and your generosity. So we need to establish that strict tenth, right? It's meant that mentality has changed to this dedication now to give what the Holy Spirit has laid on our hearts to give. And you know, we see in Scripture that Jesus was giving this message again of absolute full surrender in our lives. And so I want to just for a second, I want to move on in our mentality. Okay, so we're talking about finances here, and I know that we're talking about this tenth of our finances, but I want to talk about what a tenth look like in every other area of our life. If Jesus is asking us to give everything that we have, do you know what a tenth of our time looks like? Every month, that's 72 hours.
If you sleep?
No, it's 72 hours in general, right? And if you subtract sleep out of that, right? And we don't take the percent.
See, I'm like, wait, what's happening?
We don't sleep 72 hours a month. It's okay. But anyway, so what it's saying, though, is that that would be 1.6 hours a day if you don't factor in sleep, okay? And that's 2.4 hours a day with sleep. Okay? So that would mean that we are dedicating, if we take a thing of just a tenth of our time dedicated to God, 1.6 or up to 2.4 hours a day, just committed, this time is just for you, God. Whatever you want me to do. It kind of shifts our mentality, our thought process when we put that in different terms, doesn't it? See, here's the thing. What if you committed 1/10 of your time with your spouse or your family to God? What do you think would change? How about your own personal life? You know, we struggle with devotion sometimes. We struggle with reading every day and praying. But what if you set in your calendar 1/10 of your time was going to be devoted to time you spending with God, one-on-one, in your devotions, in your prayer time, serving? What do you think would change in your faith? What kind of leaps would you take forward if that was going to be the reality in your life? See, here's the thing. Jesus isn't even asking that of us. He's asking that every moment of every day be given to him. Right? We understand that. That's easy to say. Right? He's not asking us to give a tenth. He's asking us to give every single part of us, that he is inserted in every part of our lives, in our marriages, in our work. Everything that we do, the way we drive should be for Jesus. Right? That's a hard one to swallow. But
only
that's the truth.
Only 10% of the time, and, though, right?
No, only 10% of the time. Yeah, only when you're driving to church. Then you're good. That's what that time's dedicated for. But think about that, right? Jesus isn't asking that of us now. That all changed. Now it's everything. And so if we shift back from this idea of time back to finances, it kind of gives us maybe a clearer picture of what's really being asked of us. Because here's the thing. Our lives, when we commit that to God, we commit our finances, which means we acknowledge that every good thing in our lives is directly from him. Every dollar, every penny that my family has is because of God and his goodness to us. He gave me the abilities to be able to work. He gave my family the ability to make money. He gave my grandparents, my parents, my extended family the ability to give me birthday presents, right? Even that little insignificant stuff, every good and perfect gift in our life is from the Father. And so if we can shift our mentality that time and money, really, we should look at it the exact same way when it comes to our faith, mm-hmm. it really helps us dig down mm-hmm. a little better. So here's the thing. As soon as we switch this conversation back over, right, now we can kind of get what God is, why God is telling us to test him in this. We know that the more time we devote to God, the return is amazing. We grow so much. He gives us so much insight into who we are, and our lives transform incredibly in front of other people's eyes often. So God is telling us, test me even in your finances. You know that I'm good in your life. You know the work that I've done in your life and others around you. So test me in your finances even and see that I don't pour out blessings upon blessings into your life. Please. Please trust me with every last area of your life. That is what he's asking. He's pleading it with us. Because again, he knows that nothing stops that forward momentum in our lives like holding any area back, let alone finances. Yeah. The promise is waiting. It's just waiting. But here's the thing. We have to take the first step. Mm-hmm. He's not just going to make it happen for us. We have to be the ones that say, okay, God, I believe that what you say is true. I choose to believe that you are exactly who you say you are. And so I'm going to take a step of faith in this to see what you're going to do in my life.
Yeah, it's interesting when he says that, test me. So we're saying to be generous, to live generously, you have to intentionally set aside your resources for God's kingdom. And the first thing you have to do is you have to be the one to take the first step, okay? So I don't know about you, but I shop at Cortero a lot. Anyone else? You know what I'm talking about. That's the first thing. And honestly, I've lived in Red Rock 3 years. I've only gone as far as like Ina. Like, I swear, I know nothing about Tucson, okay? I got everything I need. I got Target on Ina, and I got, you know, Ross and Home Goods and Walmart and grocery pickup, free grocery pickup. It is a miracle from the Lord on Cortero. Okay, It's so good. If you don't know what this is, literally just write it down and I'll pray for you and I'll call you. Okay, so you know that four-way stop right by Walmart? You know what I'm talking about? Like when you come down Cortez Turn left out of the Arizona Pavilions, and then there's a four-way stop. You can either turn right to like go into the Chili's parking lot, or you can turn left to go into the Walmart. No one knows what they're doing at that stop.
Yeah.
I half the time I'm like, I know what I'm doing. Am I really doing it, right? So every single time, there's not been one time that there's not four of us that come, because it's a pretty busy intersection, and then it's like, who's going to go first, right? You're like, you, and then someone waves, and the other guy goes. You're like, wait a second. Like, I got waved at, but this guy's just zooming through, you know. I mean, it is crazy, and I'll tell you, every single time I have to turn left into the Walmart parking lot, and this person's like, I'm like, oh, just if you could go, then that will start the everyone on the right goes next, you know, like the DMV test you took when you got your driver's license, all right? But there's this posturing that happens for a second. It's like, who's going to go first? Right? Like, we're like, okay, and you know, I'm a pretty defensive driver, so I always just go. I'm like, no one knows what they're doing. I'll go ahead and lead the pack and show them. I'd probably make everyone mad. I'm probably that person. But there's this posture that reminds me of what happens with God sometimes when it comes in this area. We're like staring at each other like, who's gonna, are you gonna provide first and ensure me the blessing first, and then I can give? Right? Or is it going to be, do I have to give first and then experience what we're going to talk about in a minute, the blessing and protection over my financial life? Which one is it? And I'll tell you what, I'm going to remedy that for you right now. It is you take the first step. You take the first step. God says, you test me in this, but I need you to demonstrate your faith, your trust in my promises, in my character, in my ability. You demonstrate that you understand what my economy is. That's what we've been talking about in this series. You move first, and then I will just, not only will I step in, but we're going to talk about the promises that come and how he steps in. We take the first step. And all over scripture, God demonstrates this, not just in the area of finances, right? Like with the Israelites, Moses had to get in the water first and put his staff in, and then it would spread. When the Israelites crossed the Jordan into the promised land, they had to what? Get their feet wet in the flood season. I mean, that water's rushing, and he said, you get your feet wet first. You step in, and then I'll spread the water for you. Peter, he had to get out of the boat, right? He had to take the first step, and then he got to walk on water and experience this incredible thing with Jesus. There's all over scripture references to this. You take the first step, and then God comes around, because it's all about our faith, okay? And say we just took Malachi at its core and said, okay, I'm going to set aside a tenth of my income, a tithe of my income to set aside intentionally for God's kingdom work. Say we did that. That is an incredible sacrifice, right? Like, you're telling me I got to readjust quite a bit in my financial life to take the first step to see you come through. I don't know about that. That's scary. It's a real thing. That's a scary thing, right? Some of you are like, yeah, that is. That's crazy. I want to remind you here that it's not, God, give me more so that I can give, then I'll give. Not, God, clean up my mess, my debt mess, and then I'll give. It's not, God, can you just come through for me and bail me out of whatever situation is, and then when I'm set, you know, in a good place, then I'll start to be generous in my life. It is you take the first step. Now, I want to clarify something, because in Deuteronomy, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He says that. Do not put me to the test. All right? But then in Malachi, it says, test me in this. And so I read that. I'm like, wait, what? Is that scripture contradicting itself? No, it is not. So that word test is two different Hebrew words. Okay? The first one in Deuteronomy says, do not test me. It's naka. Do not naka me. Do not put me, do not tempt me, do not try me, do not be like a toddler, like, if you don't knock it off, I'm going to put you on timeout. You know, like, don't do that. Don't come up and buck up against me and tempt me in that way. But this test, this other word in Malachi, this test me in this is, I don't know how to say it, but it's bachan, B-A-C-H-A-N, that's how it sounds.
It's like bachan, something like that.
Because the H, yeah, I'm really good at this. That is to prove or examine. That's a whole different meaning when it comes to tests. And it actually refers to when you put gold into the fire and you kind of by fire test the quality of it, right? You're proving and examining, is this good? Is this right? And so they're two different words. So God is saying, test me in this. Come forward. Don't be afraid, but you have to take the first step. You know, last week we talked about the cheerfully giving portion and not giving under compulsion or because, you know, we said so. We explained that's why we don't pass the offering plate in our church. We don't want you out of guilt, like people are looking, here's my $5. You know, we don't want that in our church. We want generosity, true biblical generosity in our church unleashed. And so we don't pass the plate. We're not knocking churches that do that. You probably get more money when you do that, to be honest, right? You get more guilty people, but we don't want that. We want people that follow that verse last week. Well, we do want it, but we don't want it. You know, like I think
we should put a mirror in the bottom of the plates that you pass. And then you have to look at yourself as it goes by. Like.
All right, next week we're passing the plate. Okay. Yeah. You know, what it says in that passage last week, it says, you decide in your heart between you and the Holy Spirit, what is it that God is asking of me? And so at Village Church, you're not going to hear us say, you know, you need to give 10%. Because like Cody said, often it was a lot more. Okay, it was in that culture. It wasn't just the tithe. It was so much more. And then Jesus, he doesn't put a stipulation on it. He says, you give your life. And in a lot of cases, he says, you know, someone's like, if someone comes up to you and asks you for your jacket, you give him your jacket, 100%. You give, you sacrifice. And so what we want to say today is that we want to pray for you in this, because if you took to heart what was said last week in Scripture, there's a good chance that you're having a conversation with God about this, okay? That God is impressing on you a percentage or an amount or a commitment. And I guarantee you, I wrote down here, it's probably more than you feel like you want to give. Like, because the whole way the Holy Spirit moves, it's probably more than you feel like, oh gosh, like it's a challenge that you're working through. And so we want to pray for you in that. And we also want to help hold you accountable to what the Holy Spirit has said to you. So we will have commitment cards, not next week because our family Sunday, but the week after, for you to actually say, this is what I feel like God has told me to give, and I'm going to turn it in and say, pray for me in this. And don't worry, we're not going to call you up every week and examine the financial report and say, you know, did they really do? We're never going to do that. But we do want to help you be obedient to the Holy Spirit in prayer, okay? If you already know what that is, if you're like, you know what, I got to take the step, you have that connection card, that's a great place to write it. That's a great place to write it. If you haven't yet gone on this journey with the Holy Spirit to decide in your heart what to give, we recommend this week, would you sit down and do that? And if you're married, sit down with your family, talk about it, even with your kids, talk about it. Like, teach them what it means to be generous and what are we as a family gonna do in intentionally setting aside our resources for God's kingdom.
I want to read out of 2 Corinthians 8:12 here real fast. It says, if the intention and the desires are there, the size of the gift doesn't matter. Your gift is fully acceptable to God according to what you have, not what you don't have. So, again, like as Ashley was saying, you know, it's so important. If you're conflicted at all right now about this whole giving thing, maybe you haven't started giving, maybe you've never given, or maybe God's maybe talking to you right now about the amount that you give, right? It's important that you don't do that out of compulsion, out of just feeling bad, like, oh, I better do this, otherwise every time I come to this church, I'm going to feel terrible about myself, right? That's not what we want. That's not how this works, okay? You are supposed to give according to what you have decided in your heart to give. And commit to that. And give cheerfully and excitedly about what God's going to do with that. That's what we're encouraging you to do. Is sit down, like Ashley said, sit down with your family this week. Pray about it together and say, hey, like, let's all talk about what we want to give to God. Let's talk about what generosity we want to include in our finances. Even get the budget out and say, okay, like, what do we think? And then decide on a number and then pray about that. Mm-hmm. See if that increases. See if that's what you're supposed to do, right? I doubt it'll decrease, but you never know. Mm-hmm. You just don't. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. We can't tell you how much to give. It doesn't work like that. That's why the 10th thing doesn't work anymore, because that was under compulsion so often. But they didn't know any different. Mm-hmm. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about this. And he has been. That's not something we even have to talk about. But I promise you it is happening. So please take the time. Take the time this week. Sit down. Really pray through this. And see exactly what God is asking you to do so you can give cheerfully and obediently. And then see what he's going to do once you put your first mm-hmm. step forward in that.
Yes, that was point one. We have two more points, but we're going to whip through them, okay? Because that was like the crux of this message. The second thing, if we're going to be intentional about setting aside our resources for God's kingdom, you get to experience blessing and protection. Okay, so in verse 10 through 11, he goes on to say, test me in this and just watch what I'm going to do. See that I don't provide back to you more than you can even store. Okay, like you give me a little and I'm just gonna like bless your socks off. And then it says, and I'll protect you, right? I'll protect your crops. I'll protect your, the pests won't come and chew them up, and your fruit will be ripe and fall when it's supposed to, so that you can have more and more increase. So it's a promise of blessing and protection. You know, what's interesting in this passage is when God is saying this, it's in response to a season where his people had been disobedient to him. They had been worshiping idols and distant from him. And so they're experiencing all the consequences of that, okay? They're like, we are not protected in any way. We're not getting anywhere. And you know, God's like, well, that's the natural consequences of not being close to me. And so they come back and they say, how can we get back in relationship with you? And he responds with this verse about their finances. Really interesting, right? He's like, well, first of all, you need to start here. This is, let's get right back with each other. And you test me in my faithfulness and then see my promises come through. Just return to me. Return to me in relationship with me. This trust and faith and promise exchange back and forth with me. Let's do this. Let's do this dance again together. And so with that said, what this is translating to is that God is promising you're going to set aside a tenth, and I'm going to make the 90% go way farther than the 100%. That's what he's saying. He's saying, in my economy, numbers don't add up like they add up on a calculator. Okay, you're going to give the tithe, the tenth, and I'm going to multiply that 90 way more than 100%. And those of you that have experienced this, people that give regularly and have it in their rhythm, their financial rhythm, absolutely know this promise, including myself. When I have set it aside, and I'll say we're not quite about it, we do set aside 10%. I take this, like, that's kind of God's heart, his intention. 10% of our income for God's house, for God's work. And I'll tell you what, like, I sometimes look at what we make in a year, and I'm like, how did we do that? There's not, I mean, all the things that God has provided for us throughout, the miracles that have happened, he has made the 90 go way farther than the 100%. It's miraculous what God will do. And so he's saying, you have this promise. You have this promise of blessing, also this protection. And Cody and I were processing this. I'm like, does that mean nothing bad ever happens to me financially? Right? Like, I'm like, well, sign me up. I'll give it all. Like, if no IRS bill comes my way, or no, you know, medical bill, that's always the thing, medical bill comes our way, or nothing, you know, then fine, sign me up. But that's not what it's saying. It's not saying that nothing bad will ever happen to you in your financial life. What it's saying is, you test me in this, I will bless you, but I will also protect you. So when things do come your way, just like last week we read, you will have all that you need to get through it. And I'll tell you what, Matt and I have been through the ringer in some different financial situations, and I'll tell you what, we've never not gotten through it. Never. We've never been like destitute or left. You know, our crops have not been devoured in our lives. Does that mean that it wasn't hard, that we didn't have to be disciplined in some ways and really seek God? Because this is in response to your faithfulness to what the Holy Spirit has told you. And I want to make a note to say, just because you might give 10 doesn't mean you get to be wild and crazy with the other 90, right? It's all heart issue. So if your heart is 100% right with God in this area, this is the promise that comes out, that you will be blessed and protected in your financial life.
Yeah. I love this promise that it is that prevention side of things, that God has set things in motion already. When you are generous to him, he's set things in motion because he knows what's coming your way. He knows what's coming down the pipeline in your life. And so he sets things into motion to make sure that you're taken care of. How many of you have gotten a financial blessing out of nowhere, right? Maybe like you get a check in the mail out of nowhere, right? And then like that next week or like a couple weeks later, like some crazy thing happens in your life where it's like, I need that exact amount of money, right? But then how often has it been that you get that check in the mail and you spend it on something right away, and then something comes up and it's like, oh, I should have used that for that, right? Like, that's what happens when we don't look at every single blessing in our lives, every piece of finances, as God's. When we look at that, and when we look at something dropping out of the sky, like miraculously sometimes for us, if we'll stop and say, okay, thank you, God, something must be coming my way, right? That way we don't get caught up in complaining that like, well, what happened? Like, I thought we were good as you're, you know, like, I don't know, whatever. My thing's a guitar. As I'm playing my brand new guitar, I'm like, oh man, that's crazy. We can't play that medical bill. You know, like that's silly, right? It's like, I just got $3,000 out of nowhere, you know? Like, that's how it works, right? And I've seen this personally in my life, right? Where, this is a quick story. I've shared it before once, but, I grew up in the church, and I served at a Bible camp every summer for 5 summers. That's where my wife and I met for the first time, and she's a little older than me, and so I was like 15 the first time I met her, and she was like 18, and it was like, no way that's ever going to happen, right? In her mind, she's like, that's nice, kid, but yeah. But I was like infatuated with her the right away, right? And so, you know, we grew as friends, but like I never expected it to go anywhere else than that, but she was always the person that I compared other girls that I dated to. You know, I'd be like, yeah, like, I'd like to find someone like Jessica, I would think to myself all the time, right? And the last summer that I went out to council, there was a huge oil boom in the town that I lived in. In a town of 13,000 people, there was like 700 jobs available. And they were all like great paying, a lot of overtime, hard work, but it's like, I could have made a lot of money. And so I was in between, I think I'd gone to college for, in Canada is where I went to college because it was a lot cheaper. And I started like the second half of the year or whatever. And so then my first summer, I was like, I'm gonna make a lot of money. And so I tried to apply. I applied to 7 different companies. And I would call there every single morning to try to talk to the person in charge of hiring, and I could never get a hold of anybody. And I was getting really frustrated, but the whole time this camp kept calling me and said, hey, we're really short-handed, and we'd really love it if you could come out and help serve, right? They were gonna pay me $1,000 for the summer, and I was gonna make up to 20 grand in the oil field in just a couple months. And so I was like, I'm sorry that you guys are struggling there, but I'm gonna make some money this summer, right? But I could not get any of these jobs. Nobody would talk to me. My dad was even like a manager at one of the companies, and I still couldn't get a stinking interview or talk to anybody, right? And so finally I was like, whatever. This camp called me like 5 times. The last time I'm like, fine, I'll go. I walked in, and Jessica was in there, and this is what she says. She was like, oh, it's Cody. And that summer we started dating. And then we got engaged, then we got married and everything, right? And so I just think God prevented me from making a stupid decision because I was putting finances first in my life and not him first in my life. And I was a tither. I've grown up as a tither. I was taught at a really young age to give, right? And so I was always faithful in that respect. And I was like, well, God, I'll make all this money, but I'll be giving you some good tithe money, right? Like, this is good. This is a good exchange, you know? But that's not how it worked, right? God was trying to prevent me from my selfishness and saying, I have something so much better for you. You have no clue what is just waiting on the other side of this if you'll just trust me instead of trying to control things yourself. Yeah. Right? That is what's being talked about here. If we're faithful to him and we take that first step, he prevents us from ourselves so often, right? Mm-hmm. And that is such an important part of this, yeah.
Yeah, who doesn't want blessing and protection over their bank account, right? Like, I wrote down here, like, do you believe that God is who he says he is? And do you believe that the richest being to ever exist, the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the one that owns everything, don't you want him looking over your financial life? I think I do. My father is rich, and I want access to him, right? And his pocketbook. Amen, right? Like, it's just true. Do you want that blessing and protection over your finances? If you do, then that means that you believe he's faithful to this promise. Not only do you test him, but you get to experience this in your own life. And as we're preparing this, I just thought, I cannot wait to hear in response to this what you decide and how God works in your life, and then to experience this as a church, corporately, the blessing and protection over our church and what God's going to do, what he's going to unleash through here. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday about the building that we're going to build, and they're like, so when's that happening? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. Like, that's like $4 million or something crazy that I don't, are we going to do that? Us in here, the few of, like, we'll just raise up $4 million. You know, like, I have no idea. But as I was preparing this, I'm like, you know what? If we are faithful to God and what he has said, he is going to do an incredible miracle in our lives. And I'm excited to experience that with you guys.
All right, last point. We're going to go fast here. So the last thing is that you become a witness. And it's so important that we talk about this, because everything always comes down to this, doesn't it? That everything good that God does in our lives is always meant as a story to tell other people. And this is no exception. And we see this in this passage at the end, the last verse here. It says, then all of the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. So that's why we take the first step. That's why we enter into a season of protection and blessing, so that we can tell others, look what God has done for me. Look at who God is to me. Man, we can stand up and we can tell our friends, I didn't know how I was going to get through this. And then you know what? God handled it for me, and I'm okay. And he blessed me so richly in this situation, right? The thing is we have to understand that our obedience to the Holy Spirit's direction towards generosity will always result in a story worth telling others. But if we don't respond to the Holy Spirit's leading, we're never going to have that story that can be life transforming for other people. Mm-hmm. We have to live it out. We have to live it out. We are called to go. We are called to be witnesses. We are called to tell the world, and oftentimes that's through our lifestyle. Because sometimes we'll never have a conversation with someone, but on the outside, people can look at us and say, man, that family's blessed. Mm-hmm. Man, what is going on with them? They're happy. They're content. They just seem so, like, solid, right? That's the story that we want to tell this outside world, so that they can begin mm-hmm. a relationship with him as well. Our good in our lives is meant for God's glory, so that others can see who God is. Yeah. I'm going to say that one more time. Our good is meant for God's glory, so that others can see who God is.
Mm-hmm. That's that storyteller aspect, right? At Village Church, we say we're storytellers. We live out the story of Jesus. We tell our story so other people can have a story with him. You know, I've shared with you, some of you, about the miracle that God did to get us to Red Rock, but in short, we needed $4,500 extra dollars to build our home here, to move and invest in this community. And we had already put all our dollars toward this house, and it came up later, months down the road, this is what was going to happen. And I had entered this silly video contest for our school, and I won. And our video was not even good, okay? And I mean, someone had like a helicopter flying over, you know, their school to represent it. Ours was like in front of our Christmas tree. Like, it was not good. It really wasn't. And I won, and they brought us to this conference. They brought us on stage, and they said, you won first place, and we're going to give $10,000 to your school and $5,000 to you. Cash. And this is like the week before we needed to pay Pulte to get this house built. And we had said, we don't know how we're going to do this. God has to work a miracle. And it was incredible, the miracle that he worked. And at that time, we were walking through this with our church, and they were knowing, like, we're all praying for a miracle. And my friend Kelly, who is not a believer, I was processing that with her. We met kind of regular. She's a good friend of mine. And when this happened, when it came through, I want to know, it was $4,500 we needed. He gave us $5,000. We had decided in our heart with the Lord to give 10%. So he provided, here's a door for you to be generous, and I'm going to provide for the house too. I mean, it was just incredible what he did. It really is his faithfulness. But I remember having breakfast with her after this all happened. And Kelly, you know, we've had lots of talks about, is God real and what that means for her and why she doesn't believe it and kind of her life and she doesn't, you know, whatever. And she said, I wrote it down here, she said, even I cannot deny that God is working in your life. I mean, I can't, I actually cried writing this out again because it just moved me so much. Even I cannot deny that it is God that is working in your life. And then she said, and I actually believe that whatever that blessing is on your life, that it actually spills over into mine. So I'm going to stay close to you. I mean, incredible. And that's really sweet, but it's just incredible. She named, I mean, her and her husband are not fond of Christians. They don't like church. They don't like Christians. And Matt and I are at the top of the list. If they die, we get their son. I mean, this is incredible what God has done, all from a financial miracle. It's a witness to the world, you guys. It's the witness to the world that when God works in our lives and he blesses us and we are telling that story, look what God did for me. They're like, whoa. Like that A plus B did not equal C there. You were not supposed to get that house. And even she had said at one point, I remember she had said like, well, that's why you don't move your family before you know what's happening. You know, like she had, and then she came back like, that's not, even I can't deny that God is at work in your life. Have you considered that he wants to use your finances and that blessing, promise, faith, and trust relationship that you have with God to share with those around you that don't know him? The way that you interact with God when it comes to your finances is not a private issue. You might think it is. You might think, no one knows my bank account, no one knows. But the way that you demonstrate faith and trust and the way that God comes through with blessing and protection is a witness to the world around you.
Yeah. God wants to show others how good he is through every area of your lives. Every area. It's very easy for us to think like, I have a great story to tell about how he saved me from my sin, but we also have to tell the story about how he saved us from our selfishness over our finances. Mm. And how he blesses us in that. Every single area of our life, God wants to unleash this amazing story so that others can enter into the same story with him. Mm. See, we try to control things only to end up getting what we're capable of creating for ourselves. That's the danger when we try to control things. But when we let God handle stuff, then we get to see what he's capable of doing. And it's always much more, much greater than we could ever ask, hope, or imagine is what he has for us. So before we go into a prayer time, I just need to say this. Jesus spoke on money so much because he knows the journey it takes each of us to go on. He knows that journey. He knows it takes time sometimes. God, I need you to hear this. God loves you. Mm-hmm. So if there's issues in your heart still about finances, if you're still struggling with this, and maybe you're not ready today to make a decision on that, here's the thing. God loves you, but he's never going to give up on you. He's never going to give up on you, on pushing you towards that life that he has in store for you. Mm-hmm. He's never going to give up because that is the best life for you. It's never going to end. You're going to keep hearing these messages about finances, but this about every single area of your life that he wants to fix for you, that he wants to transform. That's how he works. And so I just really need to make sure that you hear, he loves you. He doesn't love you less because your finances aren't where they're supposed to be right
Amen.
Now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he will never stop pursuing the best for you, ever. And I'm so thankful to him for that, aren't you?
Have the worship team come forward. Thank you for hanging with us. Kind of a longer message today, but I think that God has spoken some incredible things to us. I know I was so encouraged studying this passage and thinking, how's this going to apply to my life? Even challenging me to even reevaluate what at one point we decided in our hearts to give and maybe what that looks like now. So I want you to know this. We know that this is a challenge, and we know that this is not a message you just walk away from like, oh, thanks, that was good. Right? Like, this is something where it's like, wow, like if I'm going to test God in this, I have to go home and I have to chew on this. This has to be a conversation that I have with the Lord, maybe with my husband or wife, with my kids. I mean, this is impacting everything. This is going to change the way that we live, the lifestyle. I mean, this is a big deal. And also, I know the statistics because of Dave Ramsey telling me of how 9 out of 10 Americans are drowning in debt. 9 out of 10 Americans drowning in debt. That goes for us in this room as well. That they're living paycheck to paycheck and just trying to figure it out and make ends meet. 9 out of 10. And that includes the people. I had someone this week ask me, how do you think that person lives? That life is so extravagant. And I was like, well, it'll be outside of their means. But on Facebook, it all looks great. right? Like, you're like, wow, they must be rich, you know? But people, 9 out of 10 people are living outside of their means. And so when we deliver a message like this, we realize that 9 out of 10 people in this room are like, I have no idea how that's going to work. I have no idea how this is going to happen in my life, right? And so we just want, in this conclusion time, to give you the opportunity to respond to God. The Bible says, make vows to the Lord and fulfill them. So you're going to be working on this with the Holy Spirit in this moment. You're going to say, God, you're moving in my heart, and I need you to help me know. I need the wisdom to know exactly what this is going to look like in our lives. Lead me, not out of guilt or fear or compulsion, but out of a surrendered heart, because I genuinely want what you want for my life. We have provided two leaders for you on the side, Ashley and Jonathan. They would love to pray for you. Who doesn't want prayer of financial blessing over their lives, right? And so we want to encourage you, use this time. Don't make them stand there the whole time, okay? Get up. We have like 10 minutes or so. Get up, go up, say, you know, God's moving in my heart. I want to be generous. I want to be more generous even than maybe I've been. Would you just pray that I would have an increase of faith, and also that I would trust that God is working in my life? I need the wisdom to know how to do it. Okay, they'd love to pray for you today. It's simple, doesn't have to be crazy. They'd love to pray for you. I'm gonna ask you to bow your heads. If there's someone in here, you know, I know that finances are a thing, and not one of us goes through life without being challenged in this area. And I'll tell you what, I believe that there might be people in here don't know Jesus, that have never given their life to him, but that are hearing this and saying, you know what, I want access to the God that owns everything. I want access. I want to get near to him. And the Bible says you just hand your life over to Jesus. You say, you know what, Jesus, I believe in you. You are my Savior. That he will send the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you to give you the wisdom and the understanding of how to work this out in your life. And so if you don't know Jesus and you want to start a relationship with him today, would you just raise your hand? Just be brave. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Always want to give the opportunity. And if you're hearing this today and you're realizing, you know what, I've been posturing with God like that four-way stop at Cortero, and I'm realizing I got to take the first step. And you just want to say, that's me. I got to take the first step. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. That's great, guys. That's great. You're hearing this blessing and protection. You're saying, you know what, I want that over my life. I want that over my life. You just want to invite that into your life and demonstrate that you trust God in that. Would you raise your hand? You say, I trust you, God. Yes. That's awesome. And I love this point. You become a witness. If your heart today, you're realizing, you know, I've been looking at my finances just for me and mine and what it does for my little family unit and my corner of the world, but I'm realizing it's more than that. And you want to say today, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to the people that don't know you, and use this trust and faith and blessing and protection relationship to share your story with the world. Would you just raise your hand? That's awesome. Father, you've heard our vows today, God. We've raised our hands. We've bowed our hearts, God. We're about to come to you in worship. And Lord, we pray, would you move in this place? Just move in us, God. I pray that you would begin to solidify, cement things on our heart. Lord, there's people in here that have nowhere, that know, don't know where to begin. And so, God, I pray that you would settle their minds and their hearts now with peace and wisdom and vision for their lives. God, I pray that you would help us decide in our hearts what you have put in front of us in this area of generosity. And God, I pray that you would unleash blessing, protection over this church for the way we respond to this message today. Lord, I pray financial miracles in the way of this building, in the zip codes. Many zip codes, God, you put on our heart to plant churches in. Lord, Eloy and Gladden Farms and down into Tucson and the outskirts of Phoenix, God, and all over the world, Lord, that you have, we don't even know about yet, that you're going to do, that you're going to use us to be a witness because of our faithfulness today in the little things. God, we love you. We thank you. We mean it when we say, Lord, yes, we respond to you today. We mean it. Thank you, Father, for your patience and your provision. In Jesus' name, amen.